Want to help make Queens a positive space? Well, you can by attending a short workshop put on by the Positive Space Program. Once enlightened, you can post a Positive Space sticker in your work, living, or study area, helping to create a campus free of discrimination. Contact the Human Rights Office or email make Queens a positive space? Well, you can by attending a short workshop put on by the Positive Space Program. Once enlightened, you can post a Positive Space sticker in your work, living, or study area, helping to create a campus free of discrimination. Contact the Human Rights Office or email posspace@post.queensu.ca. Remember, look for the stickers with the rainbow triangle and a Q which designates.
Listen, I got a passion for spitting, smashing the competition. Vocals, the logo for the back-to-back world champion. Pistons undebatable, flesh is biodegradable. People ego deflatable, see no evil and play the role. I'm Peter Gabriel with a sledgehammer. Blood standards, red-handed, set standards, dedicated, a deal of proof. Able Miracle, Fannie Lou Hamer, Marla Ricks, Nina and Fred Hampton. Yeah. There goes the neighborhood like Fred Sanford next door to Ned Flanders. These cats pop off at the mouth like over Redenbacher. My lyrics open up the portal, see your seven chakras, helicopter circle. And watch the exchange of Betty Crocker. So poppers and Benton drama, prevent it, remember not for smash. Various, various, various on the roadblocks. You don't get it, you do you. The struggle don't stop and don't quit. Worldwide winning with style and globetrotters. Don't try to sit home if you stuck in time or broke watch. Smash. The walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake, yeah.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. It's fresh air when I'm speaking to y'all. Sometimes it falls upon deaf ears like I'm speaking to walls. I ain't preaching to y'all, breaking cycles of violence, not repeating their flaws. Open up your memory bank, I got the key to the vault. Serving the antidote to Alzheimer's, deleting and stall. Can't go below, but think it over. We the leaders we've all been waiting for. Believe it, heed the call, breathe it, keeping involved. These lyrics, he seekers deplete, tweet us till the speakers dissolve. Each generation must find its mission, fulfill or betray it. I know that ours is more than just being killers or players and making millions of papers. Our blood is spilling, the haters. Too much injustice among us, is it still a complacent? Yeah, smash the walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake, yeah.
But you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best.
But you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. Smash the walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake, yeah.
But you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best.
But you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span.
Wanting people to listen, you can't just tap them on the shoulder anymore. You have to hit them with a sledgehammer. And then you'll notice you've got their strict attention.
You're listening to CFRC, broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall, Kingston, Ontario, Queen's University campus, Turtle Island. This is 101.9 FM, and you're listening to Bash Back.
Welcome. This is DJ Flip.
And I'm DJ Fries.
All right, so we've got big show today.
Big show.
So we're going to go through a little bit of community announcements right now. So tomorrow, on Thursday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., there's a Car Smash fundraiser on University and Union put on by the Gender Studies DSC. They'd like to invite you all to smash patriarchy this Thursday for their first ever Car Smash fundraiser and awareness. So take a hammer or baseball bat to a car they provided to vent your frustration at racism, Islamophobia, ableism, and homophobia on campus. The car will be covered with such words, ensuring all passersby on University and Union can no longer ignore the issues here at Queens. The smashes are by donation, with all the proceeds going to Sexual Assault Center Kingston. So if you'd like to get involved, you can. So you can volunteer.
What? If you'd like to get involved, bring a baseball bat.
You can volunteer your time to supervise the car smash or help collect donations. But better yet, bring a giant baseball bat.
I know I will be. Also, on Thursday, tomorrow at 6 p.m., is QCred's first Each One Teach One of the year. Very exciting. So this one is, it's happening in the QCred office, which is room 343 of the JDUC. This is about coming back to Queens and how that provides a unique form of culture shock for students of color and Indigenous students as they land right in the middle of an overwhelming and very often violent culture of whiteness that at times attacks their very existence. So make sure to come out to QCred's first Each One Teach One of the year to talk about what it means to change spaces, to transition from what home means to you to Queens. And dinner will be provided.
And also as part of QCred's events, so they have the Survival 101 series. The one happening this Friday is called Where Do I Go When the Tricolor Flag Is Not Enough? And it's this Friday from 2 to 5 o'clock as well in the QCred office, so room 343 of the JDAC. And it provides sort of a way to meet some people who have been doing QCred type work for a really long time, as well as they'll be providing you with resources with where to go in terms of trying to find safe spaces or trying to find places to vent, really introducing you to the QCred office, which is at Students Leisure. So make sure to come out to that. We'll be watching some episodes of The Boondocks and Margaret Cho. So it'll be a good time. It's really relaxed.
It should be a fun event, and it's just sort of a walk in whenever during 2 to 5. There will be people hanging out there and sort of coming and going. So be sure to come check that out. Another event is Soul Shakedown, which is happening also on Friday, starting 10:30, going until 2. And is it a time to laugh?
I
thought it was something to mention.
Oh, this is what I got from Facebook.
Oh, maybe it is a time to laugh.
It is a time to laugh.
Okay, it is a time to laugh. Yes, and this is the first shakedown of Fall 2010. DJs include Redfoot, Seditious, Grenadier, and El Tico. So be sure to come check that out. And this is an anti-poverty shakedown, I believe.
Yes, it is. And the next event is part of Rad Frosh, which is the Radical Histories walking tour. And that'll be happening on Saturday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And it starts at the Grey House, which is on 51 Bader Lane. And that's put on by OPERG, as all the Frosh Week events are. So it'll take you through some of the different histories of Queens that don't involve only dead white men. So that should be a good time. They're going to cover sort of riots, kissings, occupations, and different types of histories here. So make sure to come out to that.
And the Toronto Palestine Film Festival also starts this weekend. Saturday at 6 p.m. And it goes until October the 8th, and it's located throughout the GTA. So yeah, for TPFF is a nonprofit that's dedicated to bringing Palestinian cinema to the GTA, and their mandate is to promote the richness of Palestinian Arab culture through cinema, music, and other forms of visual arts. And for more information, you can visit www.tpff.ca.
All right. I think we have two more community announcements.
lots of stuff going on.
It's really, really exciting. Mm-hmm. Every year, there's a group that does a protest down at, an anti-choice group that does a protest down at KGH. So there is a call out for a counter-protest for women in choice on Sunday, October 3rd, from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. So come out to support, bring signs and... yourself. People are going to be meeting at Barry and Bagot at City Park at 1:45 p.m. and then people are going to walk as a group. Unless you see people there already, do not go there by yourself. It can turn violent very easily, so make sure to go with a group. And then people will disperse at 3 o'clock. So bring yourselves, friends, and a sign. Things that are, you know, pro-choice. you know, supporting women's right to their own body.
And I think this is our final upcoming event. The Sisters in Spirit Vigil is happening Monday, October 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m. And this year it's happening in Confederation Park, which is across from City Hall. So as you probably know, this event is to help honor the lives of missing or murdered Aboriginal women and girls in Canada. They're advising to bring something to sit on, and offering a food to share at the feast, a feast basket, plate and cutlery, and old shoes to represent the missing and murdered Aboriginal women, and the shoes will be used for a display at the vigil and then donated to charities across Kingston afterwards. And this event is being organized by the Three Sisters Council, Tandnega Native Women's Association, the Sexual Assault Center Kingston, Tandnega's Good Minds program, and Kingston Interval House.
That's all for community announcements for today. And that's a good segue, I think, good community announcement segue into what our show is about today. We've talked in Bashback before about sort of our concern for the rights of sex workers, as well as the ways in which the government has used narratives to end prostitution as a way to legislate the right to take part in consensual adult prostitution. So... we were very excited to find out that a bunch of constitutional challenges has been the other day, the Ontario Superior Court, Jessica Yee will explain this much better than I will, but in turn, the ideas of decriminalizing sex work is now, it's seemingly to be in reality, hopefully so. The it'll take 30 days, I think, for everything to take into effect.
And that decision came out just yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. I think there's probably the possibility that it will be appealed, but this positive decision sort of bodes very well. And it's really exciting.
Yeah. So we did an interview with Jessica Yee.
DJ Flip did an interview this morning. She was working very hard.
And if you don't know Jessica Yee, you should really know her. She's amazing. Find out who she is. Read some of her blogs from, I think she's blogged from both Racial Issues, Shameless, a bunch of other stuff. She is the executive director of the Native Youth Sexual Health Network. And she talks, our interview today talked about sort of the current decision of the Ontario Superior Court to decriminalize sex work and what that means for sex workers in Ontario and in Canada. She also puts this decision into a broader context by discussing how Indigenous people and people of color are affected specifically by it. So we find out what's new that's going on at the Native Youth Sexual Health Network, which is really exciting, and also what's going on with Jessica's upcoming book.
Yay, so exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So we're gonna play some tracks.
Play some music and then get into the interview.
Yeah.
In a little bit, so stay tuned.
Turn my swag off. Last time I seen a nigga surf, he fell off. Cowabunga motherfucker, yo, we over the fad. So in dumb ass terms, that means I'm over your swag. And that bitch you never bag, and that whip you wish you had, and the way you rock your jeans with that customary sag. You watching too much TV, I would rather be me. That swag, you can have it, you're a swag addict.
R.I.P. to your swag, yeah, I just put it in a coffin. I ain't gotta turn it on, I drink it in my coat, figure it off me. Y'all been swag jacket for a minute, so I put the shit to sleep like a patient at the dentist. I meant it if I said it, you know I had to dead it. Got the shit on lock, so you know the haters dread it. Forget it, why you looking so upset? Swagger is a aura, not a motherfucking fetish. Swag, swag, would you rest in peace? I'm very swag, I said swag, swag, would you rest in peace?
swagger and don't talk about swagger and don't talk about swagger and don't talk about swagger and don't talk. You got a swag, swag, would you rest in peace? I'm very swag.
I'ma need a moment of silence, young people, to say goodbye to swag. Like
he's gone.
Let's say a few words to remember swag.
Now I'm dressed in all black with my good shoes. When they say that swagger died, it was good news. Cause he'd been through it all, he was a good dude. But if they used you like that, you'd be dead too. Ooh, drop a flower on his gravestone. Pour out a little liquor cause the word's gone. And my word is bone if they try to bring him back. I'll be the reason why the dictionary's kidnapped. Rat.
Swagger, swagger, please don't come back. Though we had some good times and made some fun tracks. Reminiscing on the times when swag was so cool. And I promise that I miss you when you go, dude. Play a couple of songs, don't get me wrong. I loved it when you guest start with whole one song. Maybe I'm being too tough, but enough is enough. Say no more swag, no more swag.
Swag, swag, would you rest in peace? I'm very swag, I said swag, swag, would you rest in peace? I'm very swag.
If you got a swagger, then don't talk about swagger, then don't talk about swagger, then don't talk about swagger, then don't talk about.
If you got a swag, swag, would you rest in peace? I'm very swag. I'm very swag. I'm very swag. I'm very swag.
It's another day. There's blood in the buckets. You're burying the bones. You twisted daughter fucker. If I had my way, if I had my way, if I had my way, I would make you pay. We would post your face all over town, and everyone around would know you were the one. And if I had my way, if I had my way, if I had my way, you would be afraid. Pack of angry bitches, bloodthirsty she hounds. We would band together and we would hunt you down. Stiletto heel to the soul, steel toe to the mind. there'd be no more missing daughters and no more sisters crying. 'Cause if I had my way, if I had my way, if I had if I had my way,
you would see these friendly smiles.
If I had my way,
vanish from our faces.
If I had my way,
and release the rage inside.
If I had my way, you'd be dead.
Trying to break bread with politicians, 'cause all you getting is some crumbs and some dirty dishes. Not to mention the reality that war is splitting sane people from evil fundamental religion. MTV celebrities will show you how they living when families on the street ain't got a pot to piss in. I know it's all about choice, but if you pay attention, if you don't have a dollar, won't nobody listen. Your wrist must glisten. Teresa didn't have a dime, but she had a vision. Jesus didn't do a crime to suffer crucifixion. Funny how peacekeepers are always the victims. Society's affliction is we put our dreams on the back burner just so we can eat and survive in this rat murder-infested terra firma. I guess it's time to reawaken our purpose, 'cause it's ready to surface.
I just missed the train again. Gonna be late to that 8 to 4. It starts to pour. Rihanna ain't nowhere inside.
I ain't got no umbrella.
Then I see all the faces on the commuter train and get this overwhelming feeling like this has to change. I can see it in their eyes. And I say to myself,
we need to stop trying and let it flow. Then what? Stop crying and let it go. Then I say to myself, we need to stop trying and let it flow. In what of the fear, we need to stop crying and let it go.
Don't wanna go to work today, nah. Wanna stay home with my kids, yeah. I ain't even got no kids, maybe I'll just call in sick. Gotta get my mind clear, right here my eyes tear, thinking how I've been there for 5 years. Dreams while running from the nightmares. It's hard to succeed when fear switches your gears. But I got my hands tied and I'm so damn tired. But I know
we need to stop trying and let it flow.
Then what of the pain?
We need to stop crying and let it go.
Then I say to myself,
we need to stop trying and let it flow.
Inside, 'cause you're not gonna find it with that peace between your thighs, and you're not gonna find it in a book filled with lies. It's time for you to realize you are a piece of God. So regardless of who you love and what's between their thighs, regardless of who you worship and who you deny, respect that nobody's perfect in love, but we try and understand that we are divine by design, and there's no such thing as time.
We need to stop trying and let it flow.
Then what?
Stop crying and let it go.
Then I say to myself,
we need to stop trying and let it flow.
In what of the fear,
we need to stop crying and let it go.
Mm. thumb on the pulse of global issues. Tune into Democracy Now!'s War and Peace Report, heard right here on CFRC 101.9 FM on weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. and rebroadcast again weekdays at 7 a.m. Democracy Now! Provides their audience with access to people and perspectives rarely heard in the U.S. corporate-sponsored media. Tune in or check them out online at democracynow.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Calling all anti-poverty activists. We're seeking participants for this fall's
Poverty Conference 2010.
October 14th to 16th. Folks who are active in combating poverty, who experience it, and are frontline workers are an important element of this conference. Would you like to lead a roundtable discussion, help with a skill share, sit on a panel and share your experiences? Engage in direct action, attend a free workshop, or help out with some of these events?
If so, please get in touch with us at povertyconference2010@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear your input.
Poverty Conference 2010.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's uniform approach to news coverage?
Do you want to go beyond the headlines?
Are you looking for stories that most are afraid to touch?
Then tune into a different wavelength. Listen to Alternative Frequency, your independent local news source for Queens and Kingston communities.
We are a news collective that believes that truth has many voices.
Turn your dial to Alternative Frequency, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And we're back. You're listening to Bash Back, and we apologize for those two technical difficulties. It might have been more than two. We might have lost count in there. We're just going to run through those tracks. We just played really quick.
Yeah. The first one was R.I.P. Swag, by Kin for Life.
And after that, we heard from Kate Reed with No More Missing Daughters.
And Raina Williams with Let It Flow.
And now it's time for some Jessica Yee. Enjoy.
All right, so we're talking to Jessica Yee. She's a self-described Indigenous feminist reproductive justice freedom fighter. I'm 24 years old and two-spirited from the Mohawk Nation. Jessica is the founder and executive director of the Native Youth Sexual Health Network, a Can-America-wide organization by youth and for youth, and she has spent more than half her life mobilizing individuals, families, and communities alike to reclaim their ancestral rights to self-determined decisions over their own bodies and spaces. So welcome, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So it seems to be an exciting time for sex worker advocacy.
Right. There's been lots of accounts that were dancing in the street, and that was very, very happy because we are that much closer today to decriminalization of sex work.
Yeah.
What I would say is we're one more step closer to giving less power to the state and giving more power to the people.
Absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about your past and current advocacy work for the rights of sex workers?
Sure. So sex work really is something for me that is deeply personal, deeply community-based, and something that surrounds me my entire life. So I'm the daughter of a sex worker. I've done sex work myself at many different points in my life, and I really value it, and I really value the knowledge of sex workers, and I really value the community, the kinds of communities that sex workers create. And so now, working in sexual and reproductive health more generally, I really have the chance and the privilege to work with my fellow sex workers and sex working communities in a way that isn't clinicized, medicalized, but that is a lot more about not just self-determination, but in respecting and honoring where we as sex workers are coming from, how we exist, and that we are an integral and vital part of every society.
So yesterday, the decision was made by the Ontario Superior Court of Canada in the case brought by Terry Jean Bedford, Valerie Scott, and Amy Leibovitz Can you tell us about what those decisions were specifically, and how do you feel this will affect the future of sex work in Ontario?
So this was something that happened yesterday that I think many people didn't even think they would see in their lifetime, my mom being one of them, actually. Mm-hmm. So basically what happened yesterday is unbeknownst to us until just a few days ago, we didn't actually realize it would be this quick. We knew it would be sometime this week.
Right.
But we heard that Justice Susan Himmel struck down all three criminal code provisions that had been challenged. So really it was communicating for the purposes of prostitution, living off the avails of prostitution, and operating a common body house,
okay,
which are three stipulations of prostitution laws in Ontario that under which sex workers are commonly arrested.
Okay.
And not just arrested, but as many people who have ever witnessed the police, often brutalized, harassed, sexually assaulted, all under the letter of the law. And so these were the three stipulations that Justice Himmel struck down,
mm-hmm,
which for us is just amazing. And mm-hmm, what it means is that, again, not just, we're one step closer to decriminalizing sex work, but it also means that we have a very strong case now in Ontario in which to go to the Supreme Court, because this was just a Superior Court decision. It only affects Ontario, and it doesn't actually take effect until 30 days from now. However, the Ontario court already refused to grant a stay, which would have stopped the changes from coming into effect for a year. So it means that these laws will fall in 30 days in Ontario, and it means that much more of a stronger case for precedent in other provinces and cities who were really supportive of what happened in Ontario but are ready to go themselves with what could be a really amazing decriminalization of sex work laws and prostitution in Canada. And for people who were following the gay marriage laws, this is very similar to how those came into effect.
So how do you see like these sort of legislative strategies, how do you see them fitting to an overall framework of ending heteropatriarchal violence in the mainstream society?
Well, this is such an integral part of it, I think. I think as sex workers, we've been so shunned and discriminated and violated for the purposes of advancing heteropatriarchal, white supremacist everything. And we've been stomped on, we've been stepped on, and no more. And no, I think what's really amazing to me is even on the community level, in 30 days from now, so long as these laws are still struck down, it means that sex workers can say back to the police, no, you can't arrest me or harass me for those things. Of course, there's no guarantee that they actually won't do it, but I think to know that we have something to fight back with, legally speaking, is so important. And I was talking to my mom last night, and I was really, really emotional. And I, when the decision came down, in thinking about this heteropatriarchal white supremacist society we live in, it made me emotional because I know that if sex work had been decriminalized and my mom was working, she wouldn't have faced all of the violence and the brutality that she faced from the police in jail, and that her colleagues, her sister friends, that everybody faced around her. And we really yesterday were just reminiscing about my childhood, but how I learned very early on what police brutality meant. And that, for example, people all of a sudden seem to think that the G20 woke up police brutality as if it's not happening to sex workers, racialized people, trans people, so many people who are street involved, so many of us, you know, who experience this on a daily basis. It ain't a new thing.
Right.
And so this is a very important step, I think, towards the state knowing that it doesn't have ownership over our bodies. And this is not legalization. I found myself in the last few days rehashing this debate or discussion with people because there's a lot of misinformation about what just happened yesterday. So a lot of people think, oh, now it means it's legalized. Now it means that people can, quote unquote, go traffic people and all kinds of ridiculous things. And the fact of the matter is a lot of people don't know. Because they either are not talking to actual sex workers themselves, or they just refuse to see what really happened yesterday, and it wasn't legalization. So there's a huge difference between decriminalization and legalization, and I am definitely 100% against legalization because I don't think that the state should be able to control or regulate sex work, similar to how it regulates tobacco and alcohol are really good examples of why that shouldn't be.
Right. I mean, you spoke a little bit there about people believing that this is a gateway for trafficking. Mm-hmm. And I remember in your Briar Patch interview, you commented in sort of the conflation of human trafficking with sex work. So how does that, how are sex workers affected by that kind of narrative and that kind of view?
Well, actual sex workers are extremely negatively affected by this conflation of trafficking and sex work. It means a number of different things for us. It means that people who are actually being trafficked are not getting the support and the assistance that they need, and it means that actual sex workers are not getting the support and the assistance that we need either because of this misunderstanding of what it means and the painting of everybody as a victim rather than looking at people as people who have agency and people who have rights. And it isn't to say that, I think one of the common things that we do in our work is to dispel the myth of the so-called high-class white hooker and whore power and those types of things. I think those things are really great, but I think particularly for us who are Indigenous, who are racialized, who are trans, who have many different identities and many different realities, we don't have a lot of options all the time. And there are many different things that happen to us where we're not as quote-unquote empowered. So we are against all different forms of violence and all different forms of exploitation. The biggest exploitation being this conflation of trafficking and co-opting Indigenous women's realities, for example, to support the paternalistic agenda of saving women. That's what we're against. And so I think that on the grassroots level and the community level, What does it mean when people are getting painted with trafficking labels? What does it mean for the livelihood that they're providing for their children and their families? And what does it mean to further help the state to criminalize sex workers? It means all kinds of horrible things.
And so how do you see these laws that have hopefully it'll maintain being decriminalized, but how do you see the laws that criminalize sex work disproportionately affect Indigenous women?
Well, as I was saying yesterday to a lot of people, decriminalization means a whole lot more when it's us who are being arrested at sweepingly higher rates than everyone else.
Yeah.
So when we look at, for example, the prison and jail populations, particularly in places like Manitoba and Saskatchewan, where it's like 80% Aboriginal, this decriminalization means a whole lot more, and I can't say that enough. It means that the reality of being arrested for those three things that we're typically arrested under goes away a little bit. To say that this law, these laws being struck down, are all of a sudden going to stop racial profiling, for example, or all of a sudden going to give police a heart and a human hand in what they're doing is so false. And it's important not to romanticize what happened yesterday. And it's important to be real and honest. But I think that people hear all kinds of horrific things that go on in Indigenous communities, and it's not to say that they don't, but arresting people and arresting sex workers in this case helps nobody at all. So even if you can't get behind supporting sex work or sex worker rights, you could at least get behind not arresting us. And you could at least get behind Indigenous people and sex workers and Indigenous sex workers speaking on behalf of ourselves. What I find interesting about a lot of this debate is it's a lot of people who either have never spoken to a sex worker or spoke to a couple sex workers and are generalizing everybody's experience.
Right.
And since when is somebody who's not part of a community the expert of that community?
And the Sisters in Spirit Vigil that's happening here in Kingston, as you know, it honors the many Aboriginal women that have died and gone missing in Canada. So beyond these vigils, what have you seen being done by sort of grassroots activists to combat this kind of violence?
Well, firstly, I think that vigils are important. Community gatherings are important. Mm-hmm. But it's also equally important not to wait until our women die before people yeah. help us. And I think that's particularly true about sex work. Mm-hmm. I see so many people at these vigils who really don't care about sex workers when we're indigenous sex workers when we're alive. But when mm-hmm. we're dead, they make all kinds of efforts to talk about these poorly prostituted women instead of, for example, supporting decriminalization, which could actually save lives, right. for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to negate from how people want to contribute or want to support. But that's one thing I think that's important to say about vigils is they're immensely important for community, but it's important to check yourself in regards to what are we really doing
mm-hmm.
with all of these things. So and in terms of the other activities that people are doing, the other work that they're doing, mm-hmm. there's so much. And one of the things I find interesting about how the media, mainstream media, portrays indigenous communities is as if all of these atrocities are happening and we're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And they're not reporting on the different initiatives, projects, steps that people are taking in their own communities. And one of those things is the Highway of Tears initiative, and which is something that my organization and I participated in for the last 2 years in northwestern British Columbia, which got dubbed the Highway of Tears because of the amount of missing and murdered Aboriginal women that are on this highway.
Uh-huh.
And so even in that initiative itself, there is so much amazingness, determination, fierceness, and just tenacity to survive and thrive in these communities that the media is not interested in reporting on, because if it looks like we're doing something about it, then it's not salacious news anymore, I guess. But it's important to know that in violence against Indigenous women, for example, is not a new thing. The mm-hmm. media seems to all of a sudden think that it's this thing that just happened, as opposed to something that's been strategically happening over a long period of time to specifically disempower matriarchal matrilineal societies, which were the center of our communities, because that's a really great way to break up and destroy a people.
So, I mean, you spoke about people at the Native Youth Sexual Health Network before, like doing work. So how is that connected? How's your work there connected to combating generations of colonial sexual violence and violence against Indigenous women and two-spirited people?
Well, it's connected in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and one I think something that's important to know about the Native Youth Sexual Health Network is, indeed, we say in English that we're working on the full spectrum of sexual and reproductive health,
mm-hmm.
but for us what that really means is we work on people's rights over their own bodies and spaces. Or we support people's rights over their own bodies and spaces. We don't do that for them. So rights over body and space translates to a lot of different things. So it's not just disease control, for example, mm-hmm. and that's something that we often will quote ourselves and say that's not just the only issues that we work on, mm-hmm. because we're not just trying to solve the problems or Band-Aid solution everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're really looking at being proactive as opposed to reactive
okay.
in all of this. So that's really the core of where we're coming from, is a rights focus over body and space, which means that it's connected to things like environmental justice and how the land affects our body and our spirituality, because since when is body and land not connected?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to violence, even if we didn't want to deal with violence, we have to. We are working in Indigenous communities,
right.
This is a huge reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to come to terms with that. It's important to be honest about that,
mm-hmm.
I think. And because we're trying to be truthful and honest about where we're at, it helps us move forward in a way that is centering the experiences of community rather than including them after the fact. And I think that that's one of the key problems with a lot of work that's being done in this area, is it tries to include people's experiences, and certainly us as Indigenous people, after the fact, like, oh, wow, we're now including you guys, as opposed to, why aren't we the center of which things spring from? And being a youth organization, this issue of violence against Indigenous women is very much a youth issue. So many of the victims are under 30 years of age. So it's something that we have to be not just concerned about, but we have to be active on, and we have to not refuse to back down, and as I always say, not apologize for where we're coming from.
Yeah, I just saw the an article written from your disorientation talk at York, and it says unapologetic on it.
Oh, in Montreal?
Yeah, and I was very excited about that.
So, yes, it's a nice way to sum me up.
So what's next for the Native Youth Sexual Health Network?
Everything locked. We're in Thunder Bay today working on HIV and discrimination in our communities with Aboriginal Nurses on Reserve. And lots. We have 13 different collaborative projects between the United States and Canada, so don't recognize the colonial imposed borders. And we're always like thinking and growing. We have an amazing Indigenous Youth Leadership Circle that really guides and assists us to move forward in a good way where their positions aren't tokenized. And so our organization really is by youth for youth, and then by Indigenous youth for Indigenous youth. So it's peer run, it's peer based. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of work to do in our communities, I think, amongst each other. And one of the things that that slows us down and that is frustrating is when other communities don't get that and don't want to let us be. And that's very true of the sex work movement in general.
Right.
In terms of the racism and the colonialism that exists even just within the movement itself.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense. I mean, we're all participating in that. That's a reality. You know, you can't escape it.
Right.
So this decolonization work that we're doing is so worthwhile, and it's so worth the process. And even eventually getting away from decolonizing and now we're looking at indigenizing.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really means for us in this work.
Awesome. And for you, what do you have coming up next? Do you have a book coming out?
I do. So last year we published a book called Sex Ed and Youth Colonization, Sexuality and Communities of Color. And this coming February of 2011, I'm putting together a book called Deconstructing the Academic Industrial Complex of Feminism. And so it's got a couple more titles so that people know what that means. But essentially what it's doing is like I guess how I am, is being very upfront and in your face about what feminism is, where it exists, and what it means when it has this stronghold of academia. And it's this phenomenal book with so many amazing contributions from people everywhere. For example, we have contributions from people talking about why feminism is so transphobic and cisgender women-dominated.
Mm-hmm.
We have contributions from people who take the case of what happened in Quebec with the niqab ban, Bill 94,
yeah.
And where the law specifically was trying to legislate what women can and cannot wear over their own bodies,
yeah.
Which you would think would be an inherently feminist issue, but had so much silence from the mainstream
yeah.
feminist community because it's racist and it's
yeah.
Islamophobic.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people talking about how they got screwed by feminism in that sense. And we have contributions from young women who've experienced sexual assault and sexual violence and are really pissed off that they didn't get to learn about feminism until university,
right.
And what that meant for them, and that they actually became feminists very early on and should be equally recognized as such just because they don't have a women's studies degree.
Yeah.
So yeah, there'll be a video component that'll go along with it. We'll launch the book in Toronto first, and then take it to cities across Canada and the North, and then the U.S.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really exciting to look out for.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. So I think we're going to wrap up. Do you have any sort of last words for us to keep an eye out for this new decriminalization of sex work? What should our listeners look out for in terms of this going into the Supreme Court or anything like that?
Well, I think it's important for people to educate educate. Right now is a pivotal time for people to know exactly what this meant yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and what it could mean in the Supreme Court of Canada,
okay.
and to make sure that you sort it out between legalization and decriminalization, but to speak up. It can sometimes be a very frustrating, long battle
mm-hmm.
to have this discussion, but we need to get the word out there, and we can all use our powers and our privileges to subvert it in a way that would be supportive of sex workers and to just respect where we're at, even if you can't get behind us. Just respect where we're at.
Awesome. And finally, do you have any music requests?
Do I have any music requests? Olé. Wow. I feel like this is a good time to play anything from Kenny Starr.
Awesome.
Kenny Starr is a huge inspiration for me about effing things up and not apologizing and being all who you are, and she very famously always says, you know, I can't fit into your box, so don't put me there.
Awesome. I think that's a good way to end this. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Some girls wear their hair up off their lovely faces, and some gaze straight ahead because they are trying to go places. Sometimes we go together and other times apart, but I'd like to think we hold our fists up, trying to make a new start. But here is a story about walking the other day, and every day's special, but some things just never change. See, he looks at she looks away, okay, hips sway, why is every day a boy day? He looks at she looks away, okay, hips sway, I guess it's another boy day. And we could call it out when it doesn't suit us both, 'cause there's a magnitude of choices in a really big boat, and that big boat floats on a restless ocean, singing about the chances of protective devotion for the girlfriend who stands on the street waiting on a trick, and some man demands that she lift her skirt quick. She's got a mother, a daughter, and a lover. You tell me why she shouldn't have safe cover. She's got a mother, a daughter, and a lover. You tell me why she shouldn't have safe cover. 'Cause if the laws made sense, she would have a legal fence to keep her clientele clean, and she could still pay the rent. She's got a mother, a daughter, and a lover. You tell me why she shouldn't have safe cover. She's got a mother, a daughter, and a lover. You tell me why she shouldn't have safe cover. Now, my skin is green. Some think it's Italian that gives me that sheen. And I have to thank my father for the proud red blood that makes me mean. But see, boy on the street's got his eyes pinned onto me. Buttons unbuttoned in his head, he wants to see the shades and the sizes, the handprints, shoe fits. Shades, sizes, handprints, shoe fits. The shades, the sizes, the handprints, the shoe fits. And off with the underwear, my dreamy smell lies there. But this is not fair, 'cause he penetrates me with his stare. This is not fair, 'cause he penetrates me with his stare. 'Cause I wanna walk down the long paths of flowers. I wanna sing songs that mesmerize for hours. I wanna feel the freedom to be sexy without his eyes sliding all up and under me. I wanna feel the freedom to be sexy without his eyes sliding all up under into me. Buttons unbuttoned in his head, what does he see?
Dream.
fence and the fence that her mom's got a serious lack of stability.